Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday at long last, September 27th, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Security Breach Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good afternoon.
We're going to have to find a better nickname for you. people listening along, I look forward to your letters. We are taking suggestions for Andrew's nickname. Also with me today, I have the lovely Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Greetings, Earthlings.
Now, there's a reason we opened with Andrew's super catchy nickname today. And that reason is that we have a PSA about a security flaw on iOS.
Yes. So just a heads up, someone on Twitter yesterday or this morning said that they had discovered this exploit. They call it Checkmate. And it's not an actual jailbreak yet, but it could lead to one. So this is a boot ROM exploit, which hasn't been seen in the wild since, I think, 2010.
Okay.
Which is significant. It's significant because, you know, ROM is read-only memory. So once it's released, you can't change that code after the fact. This is an exploit in the code.
Okay.
So now people don't really have to worry, at least right now, because this can't be sent your phone remotely. Mm-hmm. It is a, I think it's a tethered jailbreak, which means you have to, you know, physically plug it in somewhere to do this.
Right. So this is something for, so A, this is something that requires physical access to your device. And B, if I'm reading this correctly, the device needs to be something between an iPhone 4S and an iPhone 10. So if you bought the latest phone last year or this year, then you're not subject to any of this. So hopefully that helps eliminate concern for at least some people. So that's good to hear. So yeah, and like you said, this is ROM, so this isn't something that can be changed with a software update. You know, we talk about how you should keep your devices up to date and make sure that you've got the latest iteration of software, because there's security, you know, there's always security patches that come as part of that. But in this case, there's nothing that can be done to change this. So that's
That's why they say it would be a pretty much a permanent jailbreak, because Apple would have to physically recall all of these devices
and get their hands on all of those devices they recalled. So and so I get the feeling
good news for Apple, he did put the code on GitHub. So I'm sure they're frantically downloading it to try to figure out how to negate it in the future.
Although for people who are super into jailbreaking their devices, it sounds like if you have an iPhone 10, it might be an excellent time to upgrade to a new phone, because it may have just gotten a lot more valuable to people who are very interested in making sure that they can jailbreak their devices. So, you know, hey. So if you didn't get your estimate from Gazelle yet, or Square Trade, or whoever, you may want to wait and just see if jailbreakers are even more interested in your device. So, yeah, very interesting. Thank you, Andrew, for that PSA. We're always glad to have those. And now we want to talk a little bit about, Charlotte, a piece that you wrote up about Apple releasing movies in theaters for a change.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It looks like Apple is trying to play nice with Hollywood, something noticeably Netflix didn't really do.
Yes.
And is talking to theater chains. Apparently, talking to an entertainment executive as well. It was an exclusive from the Wall Street Journal, which we've written up as well. And it looks like they want to have some movies that they produce go into movie theaters before they're available on Apple TV Plus. So the big issue Netflix had apparently was that, well, one of the issues Netflix had was that movie theaters didn't really want their films in that they produced in their theaters, because the Netflix wanted them to go on the streaming service at the same time as they arrived in movie theaters. And the theaters were like, lol, no.
Basically, yes.
So Apple is trying to play nice and looking at maybe a 3-week break, perhaps, or something like that. Amazon actually had a 3-month gap, so maybe it'll be as long as that. But it looks like there will be a break, but you'll be able to see Apple-produced movies in your local movie theatre, which is kind of interesting, right?
Yeah.
Think about, like, that's quite a different business for Apple, to get it to become a movie theatre. Okay, it has a radio station.
Yes.
It's going to be producing TV series and films.
Mm-hmm.
But then to be a studio that puts stuff in movie theatres, that's another step again. It's are we going to have an Apple record label for Apple Music as well? It's an interesting next step, I think.
You know, and I think part of this is because Apple has an existing relationship with studios already, because there are movie purchases and movie rentals in the iTunes store. So I think that this could be sort of, like you said, playing a little bit nicer than Netflix, in that Apple doesn't want to damage this other relationship that they have with all of these same studios. So as they sort of ease into the game with the movies, even though most of what we've seen so far when we've seen Apple talk about their original content has been series, if they were to make, you know, when they're making features, sort of easing those into theaters and then not being in any rush to release them on TV Plus or anything until after that theatrical run, sounds like a very good way to make sure that the studios aren't unhappy with them. Especially because one of the people that they trotted out on stage during the Showtime event was Steven Spielberg, who's been one of the biggest critics of Netflix doing this in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was, to me, that was the part that was interesting about this. Well, obviously they're trying to be nice to the studios because they need them not to be angry and pull everything from the iTunes store. Because as media consumption has changed, a lot of those companies have consolidated. So one of the large producers of content for the video store, for the movie section of the iTunes store, could also be a very big contributor to the amount of music in the music store, music section of the store. So, you know, the first one that comes to mind is Sony, because Sony has a lot of record label folks under them, and also a lot of film and video stuff. So, you know, you kind of don't want to make those guys mad, because they will take everything out of the store and go home. And Apple would probably prefer not to have that not happen.
There's only one bit about this that confuses me.
Yeah.
If Apple's thing is to get as many people signed up to Apple TV Plus as possible, to say Apple TV Plus is really great and we have loads of great content and you should come and watch on TV Plus, why would you give an opportunity to watch the content you're spending money on somewhere else? You know, you could argue that putting some of the movies in movie theatres is another excuse for people not to sign up to TV Plus.
Well, they're not getting everything. I mean, they're not going to put For All Mankind in theatres. They're not going to put The Morning Show in theatres.
No, like, it doesn't work. Very specifically movies. But yeah. My point is, if you think, oh, I quite like that movie, so it's not inconceivable that someone would go, oh, I quite like that movie, I'll do the free trial of Apple TV Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I quite want to watch The Morning Show. Oh, suddenly it's a month and I need to spend $4.99 and I'm going to keep my subscription.
Yeah.
They seem to be getting rid of that possible revenue and way in of people.
Yeah.
Anyway, just a thought.
Well, and it does sort of, like, that was sort of why I wondered that too. Like, why would they do that? Well, it's to get people reeled in, people who regularly go to the theater but maybe don't know anything about TV Plus. Although I have to wonder who those people are, because I've started seeing TV Plus ads on network television, so I'm not sure who they're going to advertise to by putting these in theaters. But I think that maybe they're just still putting a certain amount of value on a large screen experience, because at least for now, in most theaters, that screen is bigger than the screen in your house.
Mm-hmm. I do know that Charlotte and I will watch one of these movies in a UK theater that serves alcohol.
Angie's very excited about this. Angie has discovered today that some particularly independent kind of small chains or independent movie theatres here in the UK, some have bars because, you know, hey, welcome to Britain. Andrew's excited by this, and I look forward to buying him a pint of beer in a British cinema soon.
So, Andrew, you know, we've had that here for ages, right?
Yeah, there's none anywhere near where I am, though.
Well, Oregon might be slightly less expensive than England. You know.
It's a thought. It's a thought.
But we have a number of them here that are very lovely, and yes, they do serve alcohol, and in certain cases, depending on the caliber of the theater and, you know, that sort of thing, you can also get themed cocktails. So I had a cocktail during Avengers Endgame that was Incredible Hulk themed. It was like bright green because there was Midori in it and some other stuff.
Oh,
it was great.
Nice.
So there's some that also will tailor the beverage menu to whatever movie it is that happens to be there. Also, when I went and saw Solo, they had Wookiee cookies for sale. They were really adorable. I just needed to share
Apple's
that.
Apple's making a documentary about elephants. One, I'm really here for anything that involves elephants.
Hey, all right.
Two, I don't really know what drink would go with an elephant-based documentary.
That's a valid question. Ooh. I'm not sure what it would
Please
be.
Please email us, observations@macobserver.com. Thank you so much.
Yeah. It would have to be the one that, like, this drink is so strong it even makes elephants forget. That's all I got.
I was just going to make that joke, yep.
Couple of these, you won't remember either. As we find out more about this, as we find theaters that will allow you to enjoy the cinema in whatever fashion you prefer, when things start coming to theaters, we will let you know about it, because I'm sure at some point at least one of us is going to end up going and seeing one of these in a theater, and we will let you know how it goes.
Especially if it involves elephants.
Especially even if the first one's elephants. Yeah, you may have to wait, but yes, we do also look forward to your letters on that as well. And I would like to sort of wrap up this week with Charlotte and Charlotte's latest crush. And we're going to talk about it. It's only been a week, but it seems like this is a relationship that's going to last.
I feel like it is. I can see it lasting at least 2 years. On Thursday, last week, I picked up a nice, cute little thing, an iPhone XR, and it's really very, very lovely. I shifted from, as I had said on the show before, largely used an Android phone before Galaxy S8 was my most recent. There was lots of things I liked about it, but, you know, I'm a long-term Mac user. There was lots of reasons for me to move to iPhone. And this week has only sought to prove more that there are lots of reasons for me to move to iPhone, because I'm big time in love with this device. There's a lot of things, as I've listed on the site, that I like about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, just a quick run through of the many, many features that I really am into. You know, first of all, I think we need to talk about how brilliant Face ID is. I feel like, I'm serious, because I feel like long-term Apple users, particularly people who've had iPhone 10 range mm-hmm. for a couple of years, underestimate quite how brilliant it is.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Quite how efficient it makes the whole process of using your phone. Mm-hmm. It is phenomenal. It is phenomenally accurate, and it is phenomenally efficient. Mm-hmm. I have a very specific Face ID question to ask Andrew shortly, but we'll come back to that. the camera, I think on all Apple phones now, I suspect you'll find this on your new iPhone 11, Kelly. And I noticed this when I knew this anyway, given I looked at a lot of Andrew's wonderful iPhone photography. The camera is really very impressive, as is the screen. And actually, the screen, I've got a 6.1-inch XR, as I said, and It's actually just, I like the size of it. It feels quite substantial anyway. But mm-hmm. also I like you can look at it. You can, it's good. It's a good size, but also you can watch stuff on it and the device itself feels substantial. So there's, anyway, I also really love, and I never knew this was a thing, podcasts that you play on your phone continue on your Mac. Like oh. magic.
If you're using Apple's podcast app in both places.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's the asterisk on that one, because a lot of people prefer correct. Something else. So
I'm deliberately yeah. using the podcast app for that reason. Mm-hmm. And I suspect, as I say in my piece, this is going to get better when we get Catalina and iTunes disappears. May it rest in peace.
Oh, I don't care if it's in peace or not. I just want it to rest.
Okay. A couple of things, and you can push back on this if you like, guys, that I don't like. You know, Kelly, I've complained to you already about homepage folders.
Yes.
I would like there to be kind of two levels of pages, but mm-hmm. fine. The one thing I really want to talk to you guys about is Apple Maps. Yes. How the hell have you been using this damn thing for these years? It is... I mean, I don't know if it's a London thing or you have these problems in Michigan and Oregon, but boy, that app, I would not want to be trusting my life finding someone with that app. How is Apple not able to produce a better mapping app? It is pretty rubbish.
So what is it about it, though, that you're hung up on? Is it its accuracy?
That it sucks.
Or is it that it's slow? Or is it that it's not giving you the most efficient route anywhere, or what?
So the biggest problem I've noticed, and this might be a thing in busy central London, it often doesn't quite know where I am when I'm starting. So like the dot is not on anywhere near the route, and it takes a couple of minutes to calibrate where you are and for you to work out the direction you need to travel in and all that kind of stuff. It's really surprisingly poor. I was shocked, and like, think about Waze, for example. Waze is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Apple Maps is a real step down from Google Maps and Waze.
Okay. Well, you can have Waze.
I'm talking about yeah. walking directions for Google Maps. And yeah, you can actually, I noticed, get rid of Apple Maps
mm-hmm.
and get Google Maps, but then you have the kind of privacy Google-based issue, so it's up, you know, right. swings and roundabouts on that. But I am shocked at how poor Apple Maps is still.
And Waze does now have an option. They did not at first. They are owned by Google, but they do now have an option for only use my location while I have the app open. So in theory, that's a thing that you can sort of ratchet down there. I generally don't use maps to get places. I sort of check it for the overview because it's using a number of different sources of traffic information. So I will occasionally use it for what's the most efficient way to get where I'm going, because I can usually like ballpark how I need to get where I'm headed. So
for driving, Waze is far and away the best.
Yeah.
Andrew, are you using Apple Maps? Have you realized that it's horrible?
What annoys me sometimes is that I'll look up something and it will give me like it, whether it's in a specific address or like coffee nearby, for example,
mm-hmm.
and it will give me places that are like hundreds of miles away.
Yeah. Yeah. Andrew's looking up movie theaters with bars and all he's finding is what I've got here in Portland. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had it do that to me too. Once in a while, the same sort of thing where it's only wanting to show me things that are 150 miles away, you know, and I'm like, I tapped on the option that said near me. So
why is it so bad? Why can Apple, with all its engineering and product prowess, after all, how many years has Apple Maps been out now?
It's been a while, because I remember people making jokes about how crap Apple Maps was when Lost was still on the air.
Right.
It's been a while.
Like 2013, maybe.
Right. I don't want to kind of go too much down a rabbit hole, because there's so much that I love about this iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a phenomenal device. For those that are interested, by the way, I'm using a really nice case from Spigen, which I really like. I have a blue phone and a black case, and the case has got a little arm on it that doesn't take up any extra space that you can pop out if you want to watch videos and stuff. So that's a really nice case. I'm sure there are loads of others out there. But there's lots of features I really like about this. What other features should I be looking at? I feel like Andrew knows some like hidden features in his phone that I'm missing out on.
Well, I did share that tip the other day about... actually, I forgot to add this to my list. You know, I mentioned how to remove location data from your pictures. And then if you do the same thing, you're on a website and you put it in the share menu, you can tap that options, which is similar in Photos. And then you can share the website as a web archive or a regular PDF or a reader PDF, Safari reader. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah,
that is nice. And what do we think about getting AppleCare Plus? I've got 57 days left, squad. What do we think?
I think
I've never used it.
I think it depends. If, like me, you are a dropper, kicker, thrower of things.
Hi there. Nice to meet you.
Like, there's a lot more carpet in my house than there was in my previous house, so it hasn't been quite as bad, but the kitchen does have stone tile floors. So yeah, AppleCare Plus is a good way to go. Depending on what sort of history you have with your devices, but also depending on what that might be, you may also be able to get away with like the $5 a month insurance from your carrier. At least we have that here. I don't know if you have carrier insurance there, but
think
if so,
yeah.
If so, that may also be an option, depending on, you know, if you think you need it, what kind of stuff that covers. Generally, the nice thing about AppleCare is that you're sort of like most insurance, you know, you kind of have to play the odds. And if you ever end up needing to replace your screen, $29 is a lot less than a new iPhone XR. So it might be worth paying for it. Plus, I don't know if this is true, but I have heard people say that AppleCare Plus makes it much easier to get help when you go to the Apple Store, in the ease of scheduling appointments and things. And I don't know if that's true.
They tend to be pretty good around here, but
again, the plural of anecdote is not data, so I need to make sure and put that asterisk on everything. But I have seen people discuss doing that. Aside from the phone layout, Charlotte, I was going to say that one thing that you have access to that I also recently got access to because iOS 13 allows is the Memoji sticker. Because I did not have access to Memoji being Team Home Button until just now, and literally Tuesday when I installed 13.1. Memoji stickers. It is, and I found that out because Mr. Kelly has an iPhone 10, and so as soon as he got it, I sort of commandeered it and built my own Memoji and started doing an emoji karaoke like a lunatic in my basement the minute he got his phone. Because what else are you supposed to do with it? And that was really the only thing I was sad about not having. I didn't care about Face ID at that point. I just really wanted to have like an emoji and Memoji because they were ridiculous and fun, and that's sort of my jam.
Yes. The other thing I really like, I have photos, really liking how quickly that updates, and like really good. Big fan.
Oh, yeah. iCloud Photos is very nice.
Very good.
Definitely. How are you enjoying Apple Arcade? I know we've talked a little bit about it here, but.
I mean, too much, one might say.
You will hear more about Apple Arcade from all of us, I guarantee, because we haven't tried all the games yet, although some of us are trying harder than others to make sure they all get played. And as we do that, you will find out more here. Charlotte, what's been the biggest difference for you in switching devices over the week?
So battery life is significantly better, I would say.
Okay.
But I do, again, put an asterisk on that I was obviously comparing battery life at the end of one device's life to one at the beginning of another. And I'm really impressed with the camera, so I really like that. I'd say the thing that's making me, I don't know, uncomfortable is the word. The kind of way that Gmail works is not great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to very quick notifications and push notifications, and on iPhone in Mail, if you're using Mail,
mm-hmm.
Gmail comes as only fetch using okay. IMAP, so it comes periodically, not as the email comes in.
Okay.
Which I've kind of got to taken a bit of getting used to, perhaps. But yeah. Actually, perhaps not constantly looking at one email coming in is no bad thing. But, yeah, no, I'm really, really enjoying it, to be honest.
Excellent. We're glad to hear that. And we're happy you've seen the light. And thank you for joining us over here on the other side of the fence.
Hashtag iSheep.
There you go.
iSheep, yes. Shred's been perfecting her moo for the last week. Yes, that was a joke. I look forward to your letters. I want to thank both of you for being here today. That's going to do it for us as we discover more things about the XR and eventually the 11 Pro, because Brian and I are both getting those presumably next week. We will see how that goes. And you will hear more about that from us as it happens. Thank you both for being here today. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by.
Hey, bye. I'm off to spend the weekend playing another game to review. That's going to be fun.
She's a giver, folks. Also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Andrew, thanks for coming by to talk to us about Checkmate.
Thanks for having me.
I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I hope all of you have an outstanding weekend. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other.